If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona, 85001. Action. Welcome back. My name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery. I am here with Gary H. He's back again, a formerly incarcerated member of Narcotics Anonymous. Gary, welcome back to the program. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be back. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. It's wonderful. We had a great first interview, and we wanted you to come back to share some experience, strength, and hope on the process of, you know, actually transitioning your recovery from an incarcerated member to a member on the outside, and kind of give some insight as to what that story looked like, to kind of look at, you know, everything that transition from your introduction to Narcotics Anonymous inside as an incarcerated member, how that initial introduction grew into a foundation, and then how that foundation grew from there. So if you haven't checked out part one, definitely go and do that. Gary had a great message full of experience, strength, and hope. And we're very grateful that you're back today. So I wanted to kind of start us off. You know, we left off on the last interview where you're developing this foundation. You got plugged in on a good yard with some people who were serious about Narcotics Anonymous that really, you know, helped develop and grow your recovery. Now, as that continued inside, how did that kind of facilitate, you know, when you got closer to your gate date, when things started looking like, you know, it's close to getting out, what did that bring up in you? You know, did you feel comfortable? Did you feel excited? Did you feel, you know, kind of fearful? Did you feel confident within recovery? How did that feel?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. When I had gotten out, when I knew I was getting out, you know, I had been doing NA for a couple of years in there, and I thought when I got out that it was just going to translate right over.
Gotcha.
You know, I thought it was going to be the same community that I had built on the inside.
Right.
I had thought that it was going to work as easily and as fast as it did on the outside.
Gotcha. Okay. And I'm guessing based on you stating that, you know, it was not the case then.
No, Matt, let me tell you what, when I got out, I quickly realized that, you know, on the outside, you have a lot more responsibilities.
Right.
There are, you know, you are now responsible for your food. You're responsible for, you know, you have to clean up some of your wreckage that you
Absolutely.
Committed before you went in. Out here, you are responsible for where you live.
Absolutely.
Bills, a lot of stuff started to come into play.
Right. And that can be a massive, you know, a massive shock for a lot of people, I can imagine, you know, and I'm really grateful that you had a foundation prior to that. But it sounds like even with a very solid, you know, foundation of Narcotics Anonymous prior to, you know, transitioning to the outs, it still was a struggle. Do you want to, you know, kind of to comment a little bit on that, and how did you walk through that and stay clean through that?
So I'm going to tell you some of my first experiences with NA on the outside. So, you know, while I was incarcerated, and, you know, I had built a base of friends that were recovery related.
Okay.
And, you know, thank my higher power that I did, because when I got out, I still had those same friends, and they knew that I was serious about it in there.
Right.
And they saw the hope in me. They loved me until I could love myself out
right.
here.
Okay.
And so when I got out, they had reached out to me.
Okay.
And they had taken me to my first meetings. They were the ones waiting for me, you know, to experience some things together for the first time on the outside.
Right.
And I went to my first meeting. And, you know, meetings in prison, while you're incarcerated, you go in there, and more often than not, you know everybody in the room. You know what run they're in. You know, you know when they work out. You know what job they got. You know as much as you can know about this person. And when I
Gotcha.
stepped
Okay.
foot into this meeting, you know, I didn't I didn't know anybody. And not only did I not know anybody, I didn't feel like I belonged because all these people were talking about jobs and money. And, you know, they were talking about their lives, their family, their kid, you know, stuff they're going through. And I felt so out of place because I was
Gotcha.
so far away from that. I couldn't
From
even fathom what they were going through.
right. No, that totally makes sense. I mean, to you know, leave a even if it was on the inside, which is not a fun place to be, but there was a sense of structure and a even if it was kind of a forced sense of community, there was still that. And now transferring to you know, an outside meeting, I can only imagine the level of uncertainty and feelings that, you know, that really would have brought up. Then how did you kind of combat that? Did you know, try to find the similarities, not the differences? Did you kind of stick close to those initial people? What was kind of your process to get acclimated into meetings on the outside?
So the I was very blessed when I got out, and as I had mentioned, I had a really tight-knit recovery-based community from the inside that I had the blessing to have while I was out here. And while, you know, when I got out, they had introduced me to my sponsor. You know, we always talk about how important having a sponsor is.
Absolutely.
And they introduced me to my sponsor, who I still have today. I've been out for a little bit over a year and a half. And I have the same sponsor I had the day that I got out.
That's
And
beautiful.
he was the one taking me to the meetings. And all I knew, the only person I knew was him.
Okay.
And the good thing about when you choose a sponsor is you choose a sponsor based off some qualities of that person that you want to be imbued into you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he has a very gregarious, or he's a very social person. So, as I was with him, and you know, I was like a little lost puppy. I hate to say it, I would kind of stand by his leg. You know, I was really nervous to be around these people, and he was talked to everybody. And through him, I got to meet my first members of NA that got to know my name, that I got to know their name, and they introduced themselves and they related with me. I was shocked. I thought when I got out of prison that not everybody go, man, everybody in these rooms. I mean, out of 10 people, 8 of them had been to prison and got released at one point, you know?
Absolutely.
And they're like, oh, I just did 10 years, 10 years ago. I'm like, holy crap, you know? And it was a shock to realize, you know, as I was, I did hang around my sponsor a lot, and I did rely on him for social cues, and I relied on him to know who to talk, you know, I relied on him for a lot. And because of him, because I had chosen that sponsor, I got to meet all these different people. And I won't lie, the first couple months of being an NA were rough because, like I was saying, you have to navigate your life outside of NA as well.
Absolutely.
And you know, I was really struggling with, you know, because I didn't think I was moving fast enough in my life. I didn't have a car yet. I didn't have a great money yet. I didn't have like all these things, you know. Obviously, a lot of us paroled to a halfway house that had all these restrictions. I couldn't go out of town. I was on parole, and I was so stressed about completing basic everyday tasks. I was so stressed out about it. But then on top of it, I was going to NA and trying to find my place in NA and trying to find my place in the community when I was still struggling with, am I going to be able to afford to eat, or am I going to go back to prison for something I didn't even mean to do? You know, and
Absolutely.
it was a struggle for the first couple of months, Matt.
And I mean, it sounds like, you know, that's the essence of living life on life's terms, you know, and I think that's great that you mentioned that, you know, because a lot of people have that false sense that, oh, I'm clean now. I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything's going to be perfect when the reality of the work that we do within the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, whether that's on a prison yard or in an outside meeting, you know, the essence of the work we do is to be able to walk through life on life's terms and suit up and show up and walk through that. So I really appreciate you sharing that insight. And I'm curious, you know, within the having the sponsor, that, had a lot of a knowledge of people in the rooms and was able to kind of, be somewhat of a help to kind of to coordinate some of those introductions and things. Did you immediately get involved with service? Like, how did your service journey transition from inside? Because on our last episode, you talked about how much service work you were doing on the inside. How did that translate to now meetings on the outside?
So I'll tell you this, the first couple months, like I was stating, I was really struggling with NA. And it wasn't until I became of service, and on the most rudimentary level, I became of service. And then I realized, boom, there it was. There, as I spoke about before in our prior interview, was when I became of service on the yard to my NA meeting there, that's when I developed my home and my heart for that place.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't figure out why, when I got out, and how badly I wanted to stay clean and how badly I wanted to do better, I couldn't figure out why I couldn't feel like I belonged in a group of people who wanted the exact same thing. How is it that I
Gotcha.
don't feel like I belong? And then my sponsor has suggested, he's like, man, you were of service in there. And you loved it. He's like, what makes you think not being of service out here that it wouldn't be the same exact feeling? And I fought it at first because I was like, man, I got this to do. I had gotten a job. I have to go UA. I have to go. It's like, how can, I don't have a car. I have to keep asking for rides. Like, how do you want me to be of service? And my sponsor told me, he's like, man, service, there's so many different levels of service. And every single one of them are as important as the other. It doesn't matter what you do, just be of service. And I said, okay, you know what, man? Fine. You know what I mean? You want to add some more to my plate? Fine, I'll do it. And I will tell you this, there's a lot of decisions in my life that I regret. And starting to become of service in NA in prison and outside of prison is one that I will forever cherish that I have done, because it changed my entire outlook on my worthiness, and it changed my entire outlook on my role in life, and it changed my entire outlook on NA. It had changed my entire, I came from a world where I thought I didn't need anything, that I was better off dead. And I live in a world now where I have a huge community of friends and love. And I get to be of service to the people, the people that I love. I always took from people in my life, and now I am in a position to where I can give back. I can show my love, something that I've always struggled with. I can now show my love. Being of service to NA is what opened the floodgates of recovery for me.
And that's such a beautiful thing because, so often, we talk about in the rooms that we keep what we have by giving it away. And, the best way that a lot of us get that opportunity is by being of service, and it's crazy to think that, being of service, which is adding more, quote unquote, stress in a lot of ways, actually lessens the stress within, which is it's just such a beautiful thing for sure. So I want to kind of touch on before we close, you said you've been out now for, it says almost a year,
A little bit over a year and
a
a
little
half.
bit over a year. So I'm curious, you were really doing, locked in with recovery on the inside. You had some difficulty when you first got out, but you fought through it. You lived through life on life's terms because of having, the support of the fellowship, because of having the support of your higher power, of having, the sponsor there. And now we're over, a little over a year since your gate date. What's your life looking like now?
I'll tell you this. Before being incarcerated, during my active addiction, I had never had a job. I had never owned anything. I had never bought anything with my own money. I had never traveled on my own dime. I have never gone out to lunch with friends. I had never bought my friends a present. I have never done anything for anybody but myself. And it The only way I was ever able to do anything for myself was by taking from another. That was it. Since being out, since being active in recovery, and a little bit over a year that I've been out, I have been able to be part of events about recovery. I have been able to buy my own vehicle. I have been able to pay my own bills. I've gotten promoted at my first ever job in my 30s. The
Wow.
first job that I had no skills, no prior knowledge of before,
Right.
I have gotten promoted within that position. I have traveled to conventions for Narcotics Anonymous. I have been of service in other areas of the country for Narcotics Anonymous. I have been able to go to those lunches with my friends. I have been able to buy presents for my friends. I have been able to call my mom and have her not ask me, "Are you okay? Where are
Right.
you?" I have been able to make amends to the people that I had feared that I would never have the strength to do before. I don't live in a mansion. I don't drive a nice car. I don't have thousands of dollars in my bank account. I don't anything that people think makes you rich, I do not have. But I tell you this, every day that I wake up and I get in my beater of a car and I go to my job and I get dirty, I never feel more grateful to be alive,
Right.
to be me. I can look in
Absolutely.
the mirror today and I can tell myself every time I look in the mirror, I don't even have to question if I'm worth it anymore because
Because you know you are.
I know for a fact, just by the little bit of progress that I've made for myself and for others, that there's more to be had because I can do more. We can always do more. I have never felt worthy to be here.
Right.
And now, in 1 year, Matt, in 1 year of being released from prison, when I came out, I had nothing,
Right.
zero, no family, not a dollar to my name except my gate fee. And I paroled to a halfway house where they didn't care who I was as long as I paid. I came out with nothing.
Right.
And I have everything that I had ever dreamed of before. All those years in prison, being locked up, when the lights would go out at 10, I would sit there and think, God, dude, it'd be so nice to turn off my own lights. And it would be so nice to
Right.
have somebody to call.
Right.
I had dreamed about the things that I have now.
Right. And
And
that's.
I that's the most you can ask for. You get all the things you dreamed of, and then the same dreams that you're having now, they're no longer just far-fetched dreams. They're realities. It just takes time, and you have it. And that's
Absolutely.
what I have now.
No, and I love that, you eloquently put that, because at the end of the day, that's what we're here to do. We're here trying to find a new way to live. And, for so many of us, we couldn't even have a concept of what living was. And today we get to experience that. And I really appreciate you sharing that process and what that looked like, and how the transition occurred, and that it's not always going to be perfectly smooth. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be life on life's terms. There's going to be the things that happen that show us how important having a foundation and having a program and continuing to work that program diligently. What life can actually look like once we do that. So again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and really giving a great insight on what your life looked like on the inside, and also transitioning to the outside. Is there anything that you would kind of want to close with? Any other things for maybe somebody who's getting close to their gate date and doesn't know, well, what do I do when I get out? Who do I call? What should I do? I mean, is there any websites or anything like that that would be beneficial?
So, my best advice to people who get out at Arizona-NA.org, you can always, your very first thing when you get out, obviously go to where you're paroled to. Do what is
Right.
legally required of you first. First
Right.
and foremost, the second thing you do is find a meeting.
Yes, absolutely.
You find a meeting and you keep going to the meeting. I will tell you this, if I would have quit 5 minutes before the miracle happens, I would not have what I have today. I will not have what I'm going to have in the future. You keep going back. If you're asking yourself, do you belong? You already belong. If
Yes.
you're asking yourself where you fit in, you already fit in. If
Absolutely.
you're asking yourself, how can I be of service? You're already of service just by showing up. You
Yeah.
just keep going to a meeting. You keep going. You keep going. I promise you, whatever you need from us, we will give to you.
No,
You, that's
absolutely.
what we're here for. Just keep coming back.
Absolutely. No, and I appreciate you mentioning the regional website. You know, starting off at arizona-na.org is a great place to start. Got all of our meetings listed there. We've got over 300 meetings a week just here in the greater Phoenix area. And so there's always some great opportunities to get connected with other members of Narcotics Anonymous. And as Gary said, as quick as possible, take care of what you need to legally, but after that, get to a meeting. So again, thank you so much for joining us today, Gary. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on this on the transition from your recovery as an incarcerated member to your recovery as a member on the outside. And I really appreciate you taking your time out today. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Matt. I love to be in here.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you all for listening. See you on the next episode. If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AZNA. Again, that's 844-991-2962.